As they were singing, I was watching all your faces, and almost every one of you were singing the words of that song. So it's a well-loved song. So next time we're going to have to invite you all up to sing in the choir when we sing that song next. Would you listen now to the words that come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. The word of the Lord. I'd like you to imagine the potential headlines of Jesus' hometown newspaper, the Nazareth Gazette. "Local carpenter billed as prophet," or "One who sawed logs now sowing seeds in synagogues," or "Former carpenter hammers the Pharisees." I like that last one. It's really fun. Can you hear the gossip in Jesus' hometown? "Well, well, well, the hometown golden boy returns to teach in the synagogue. Look, he has his mother's eyes, and he's grown up to be quite a nice young man. Tisk, such a shame he's not married yet. These young men and their ambitions. He should settle down and have a family. Such a disgrace. Being a carpenter wasn't good enough for him, I suppose. They say he has healing powers. Healing schmealing. I'll believe it when I see it. I've heard he likes to hang out with, well, you know who I'm talking about. And I hear he likes a drink or two. Shut my mouth, you didn't hear it from me." They are astounded with Jesus, these people who watched him grow up. This same Jesus who ran around with their sons and daughters, who grew up in the same little town they did, and they asked this question, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands?" It is as if Jesus could not be the source of his wisdom and power, as if he had to have gotten it from somewhere else or someone gave it to him. It could not come from who he was. Isn't he just a carpenter? Isn't he just Mary's son? The brother of James? The brother of these sisters who live right here with us? He's no different than us. He can't be. Who does he think he is? Our text in Mark says that these people who knew him took offense at him. The literal meaning of the Greek word is they stumbled over him. Notice the text does not say he offended them. The text says they took offense. They stumbled over him. Jesus responds to them with a very old line. He says, "Prophets are not known without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." But it is not only the prophet who is unwelcome in one's hometown. The prophetic word is also unwelcome. Let me ask you a question. Who is the hardest person to hear truth from? That's right. The people with whom you are most familiar. Your spouse, your partner, your longtime friend or relative. The person you love as a fellow Christian but don't like very much because of their personality or political views. The person who once cut you to the quick and you have steeled yourself against them ever since. The person whose diapers you used to change, or the person who once they changed your diapers. You might be sitting next to a prophet right now. Just because they are familiar to you, are they precluded from speaking a prophetic word of truth to you? And are you, just because you're familiar with your neighbor, are you precluded from speaking a prophetic word of truth to them? A prophetic word is not necessarily what a lot of people think, which is it's predictive, that it's telling the future. Under the inspiration of God, the prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures spoke most frequently against the appalling social conditions of their day. They were not foretellers, they were forth-tellers. They were telling a hard truth. A prophetic word is a call to return to the very heart of God and a return to the compassionate and just treatment of others. In his book, The Relevance of the Prophets, a gentleman who begins his name with three initials, R.B.Y., and his last name is Scott, writes, "Conflict is eventually inevitable between religious institutions that are by nature conservative and prophetic persons alive to the demands of religion for God's present that is always new. A prophetic word is difficult to hear because it often goes against something we hold valuable, if not sacred. And it feels offensive to us, and we take offense. Look at how often the very religious people, the disciples themselves, and Jesus' own family were offended by him. They had trouble with his parables too, because they were drawn from such familiar things around them. Jesus' authority, if you'll look at the scriptures, was not rooted in quoting the Hebrew scriptures. They were quoted in these stories that he made up. In fact, he criticized the Pharisees for knowing the scriptures, but not living by the truths in them. Jesus' authority lay in communicating the values of the kingdom of God through very simple stories about familiar things, weeds, seeds, plants, birds, business, family dynamics. The prophetic word of Christ still comes to us in the same way, through ordinary stories of our lives. And the prophetic word comes when the heart of God and compassionate justice are lacking, such as adequate food and shelter for people, health care, personal liberty, equal opportunity, justice, and peace. And here's the hard part. The prophetic word comes through people who are just like you and me. And that's hard for us because they are so familiar. They're my neighbor. They went through a divorce. He likes one too many beers. She's too needy. He doesn't know scripture like I do. I know them. They can't have a prophetic word for me. We have a hard time hearing a prophetic word because others are so familiar. It's about them. They can't possibly have anything to say to me. We also have a hard time hearing a prophetic word because individually, or as a church, or as a political party, or as a country, we don't need a prophetic word. It's about us. We are just fine, thank you very much. It's everyone else in the world who needs a prophetic word. We become so familiar, comfortable, loyal, and devoted to who we are that we can become deaf to a prophetic word. Israel, the nation, had trouble with this all the time. They saw themselves as God's chosen people, and they were patriotic about it, But they so often failed to live up to what God chose them to be, a light to the nations, because they did not seek justice, love kindness, nor walk humbly with God. R.B. Weiscott describes one of the fundamental messages that we find in the Hebrew prophets and how it might be a prophetic word for our country, America, today. He says, because of God's grace and love, each person's duty to all neighbors of the world community and to the common welfare is inescapable. Let me say that once again. Because of God's grace and love, each person's duty to all neighbors of the world community and to the common welfare is inescapable. And he says the recognition of this will transform the meaning of patriotism and galvanize democracy. Because this nation that we so love is built on those values that are values that really are for the whole world. Freedom and equality, justice and peace for all. 4th of July, of course, is the time we celebrate the independence we won from the oppressive bullying of the British Empire. And we celebrate our continued independence based on our economic and military power and our political and social principles. We are the best country in the world. On the 4th of July, we sing God Bless America, and we mean it with all our hearts. But let us not forget that God's blessing often comes as a prophetic word. A prophetic word, in fact, can be a direct answer to our prayer that God bless America. I heard a prophetic word about America about 9 or 10 years ago. It was I was at a little cafe that was right next to the art studio I was working at, and I met a guy named Marvin. Marvin was Canadian, French Canadian. He was Jewish background, and he was gay. Marvin absolutely loved this country. He loved America. He said he never could have achieved his level of success had it not been for the opportunity that America provides. Yet Marvin, he'd been working in business for a long time. He said, Marvin said that insider trading had been rampant for the 30 years that he'd been a broker on Wall Street. And he said that the small business owner, the poor, and the middle class were being left behind because of unfair practices. And he said it was only getting worse. Now, when I heard him say that, I was a bit skeptical, because I'm an American and Marvin, you're not. You're just working here in this country and you love it. But then came the market crash of 2008. And I remembered Marvin's words. Through the eyes of an outsider, I saw America with fresh eyes. America had become too familiar to me. I could not see it clearly. As I listened to Marvin, I felt patriotic because I was very grateful and proud of America. And I also became disappointed with America. Both. Marvin's words helped transform for me the meaning of patriotism and galvanize what democracy can really mean. We are such an amazing country, and we have been so blessed by God. And we can and we must do better. What is the prophetic word that God might have for this country? As we enjoy this 4th of July weekend and give thanks to God for our beautiful country, I invite us also to ask ourselves, what is the prophetic word God is speaking to you, to me, to this country, at this time in this world? What is the heart of God asking of you and of me, of our country, and of our world? I will leave you with one of the phrases, the text from one of those prophets that spoke to Israel and still speaks to us today. This prophet is the prophet Isaiah. And the Isaiah is talking about God and what God is doing in the world. Maybe it's a prophetic word for us. God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. O come, house of America, and let us walk in the light of the Lord.